we're way back there. I know you at home can't see the screen right now, but the graphic up there says the book of Ruth. That's way back in the Bible, ain't it? That's in the early pages. The book of Ruth. We're going to start out in chapter 1 today. So when y'all get there, give me an amen and we'll get to the scripture here in a minute. But think about this. Your title today, out of this wonderful book, is When It's Time to Walk Away.
Amen.
When it's time to walk away. How many of y'all ever had times when y'all needed to walk away, but y'all human like me, and we stay there way too long? Because one, you might be afraid to walk away. You might be afraid you might not be happy no more. Or you just might, you might miss the torment that you're in. Because I don't know about you, but some of us here on earth like torment sometimes. More than we do having a peace in our houses or something. But think about that. What idea or what situation can you think of right now in your lives or past lives that it would have been better to walk away when it was time? Walk away when it was time. Amen. Let's pray real fast. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for all you do, Lord Jesus. Lord, as always, I ask you, Lord, get Ronnie out of the way, Lord. Allow your Holy Spirit to lead, guide, and direct me, Lord. Lord, may it be your word spoken and not mine, Lord. Lord, may you open our heart, mind, and soul to the blessing and the message that you have for us today from this wonderful book of Ruth, Lord. Lord, we thank you for each and everything that you do, Lord. Lord, we ask it just to enlarge our hearts right now, Lord. Lord, enlarge our minds, Lord, with the knowledge that you want us to have today, Lord. Lord, knowledge that we can use for the furthering of your kingdom, Lord. Lord, that we would want to share with our brothers, sisters, family, and neighbors, Lord. Lord, we thank you for each and everything that you do. Lord, we ask you to be with the rest of the service. In your name I pray. Amen. Oh, we're going to get some good stuff on here. The Old Testament book. Amen. The Old Testament, back in the back time. Amen. Y'all like going to the movies, right? Yeah, y'all know there's like different genres of movies. Y'all know what a genre is, right? Just like there's different genres of music, there's different genres of movies, of theater. I'm trying to get that word out. Think about this. One genre is called action. One genre is called comedies. Sometimes they'll try to fit a comedy into an action, and that's the most bomb movie. Ever say bomb as in bombed, not as in bomb good. I know we got different terminology nowadays sometimes. Another genre might be superhero. Another one might be thrillers. Sometimes we want to forget those when we get out of there, don't we? Because they scare us to death. Some might be rom-coms. Y'all don't know what rom-com is, throw it this way. Romantic comedy. Amen. Movies like The Notebook. Pride and Prejudice, different things like that. How many of y'all have a Netflix account that you can throw movies up on anytime? Think about this. We're going to talk about some genres in the book of Ruth. But think about that. Just in your foremind as we go through the message today and next couple weeks. Just keep that in there. Because if this book of Ruth, y'all hear me? If this book of Ruth, if this book of the Bible were a movie, guess what kind of movie it'd be? It'd be a chick flick. Us guys might not be in there very long. You want to take your best girlfriend, your best friend, your neighbors to it, to watch it. Not something like, you know, Sylvester Stallone or Liam Neeson might be showing in, right? More like Jennifer Aniston, Drew Barrymore. Who else we got in there? We got some other women in there, don't we? No shootouts. No shootouts for the fun men type Bible, right? But more chick flicks. No explosions. No car chases. Well, maybe car chases. Sometimes women like car chasing in cars, don't they? But just mainly a chick flick. where a couple of women are just talking along, walking, living, and what? Talking a lot, right? Of the 85 verses, 55 of them are dialogues where they're talking. And sadly, think about this. These are two women. If y'all ain't read back on the book of Ruth, go back and read this again. But this is two women who lost what? Everything. They lost everything. But God is still present with them. Amen? God is still present. Not expected to be, but He is still there. He didn't perform any miracles back there in that part, did He? He didn't part the sea or anything like that. No healing of the sick, no raising of the dead. But on every page of the book, there's God's presence. There's God's power. And there's God's providence throughout the lives of these two women. This book of the Bible, they're going to study real fast. It speaks to those who are hurting. It speaks to those who are discouraged. It speaks to those who are losing hope. It speaks to those that believe God has something better for you. Amen? I know God has, I'm not female, but I know God has something better for me. Amen. That what's going on right now. Are you feeling stuck in a place? This book speaks to you. Are you doing stuff you know you shouldn't be? Amen. The book still speaks to you. The book of Ruth. When is it time to walk away? Have you had any of those times this week? Have you had any times that you probably needed to walk away, but you may have stayed when you shouldn't have? Amen. The book of Ruth, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 says this. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and their two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name, I probably not going to pronounce it, Elimelech. His wife's name was Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Euphrates from Bethlehem, from Judah. And they went to Moab and they lived there. Amen. This book was written in the days when the judges ruled. In Judges 21:25 it says, in those days Israel had no kings. All the people did whatever seemed right in their own eyes. Y'all hear that? In those days Israel had no king. All the people did whatever seemed right in their own eyes. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds like today, don't it? Because I don't know about you, but I can tell you a lot of people that try to do right in their own eyes. Not necessarily what the Word of God tells us to do, but what they feel like doing, what they feel comfortable doing. Maybe what they should walk away from and they have. Amen. But they still see it as right in their own eyes. If you're here today living like that, guess what? God's got something better for you. He has something better for each one of us. Amen. And her husband, Elimelech, I'm still not going to pronounce that right, sorry. He said, my God is king. They didn't have a king. Amen. They didn't have a king here on earth. But he had the faith that God was king. And his wife, Naomi, she was sweet, wasn't she? She was sweet. She was pleasant to look at, to be around. They had two sons. named Malon and Kilian. They wanted to see what true, strong, and godly living like. But they were stuck in the ugly area of Moab. The son, Malon, was sick. That's what it means, sick or sickly. And Kilian was frail or tired. There was a famine going on. Well, and the Amalek was worried for his family. And he moved from Bethlehem to Moab. Probably thought, God had better people, had forgiven his people. Let me restate that. He probably forgot that God had strictly forbidden his people from living in Moab. Because the Moabites, they were the descendants of Moab. You may remember in Genesis 19, Lot's daughter, when she got him drunk, slept with him, and conceived Moab. So Moab, the Moabites, were conceived out of incest, out of God's will. Amen. The Moabites, they worshiped this false god called Chemos. They sacrificed their children. In Psalm 68, it says, Moab is my wash basin. Dirty, filthy. Amen. Dirty feet. He needs washed. And then, again, knowing where he was going, still living as God was his king, with that heart. He can't feed his family. He thinks he's doing it right in his eyes, but it's not God's way. It wasn't God's way, was it? So even though he may have thought it was right in his eyes, it was still not the way God wanted it to be done. Amen. But what he do? He did what we do a lot of times when we get in those situations and we feel like we can do it our way. What do? We rationalize it, don't we? Oh, it'll be okay. No, nobody will know. Nobody will see me go over there. Nobody will see me do that. Whatever the issue we might be dealing with. Amen. He rationalizes it. Going over there might be a better economy. Might be able to feed the family. Might be able to get a job. Might be able to get a house. Hey, those are the same things we think about today, ain't it? Hey, it might be good to go over on Satan's side of the tracks a little bit. Because we might be able to get a better life. Get a better house, a job. And provide a better life for our family. But again, if it's our will, if it's our ways, it's not God's ways. Amen? We got to follow true God's rules. And when it comes to our families today, we're often tempted to prioritize that same way, aren't we? Economic provisions over spiritual protection. In other words, more money, amen, that's the economic provisions, over less God. How many of y'all know people living like that? How many of y'all might be living like that today? Amen. How many at home, if you are, give me a thumbs up and an amen. Times were tough back then. Times were tough. They left Bethlehem. They left God's people and went to the sinful land of Moab. When times get tough, what do you do? They thought they were doing the right thing. Amen. They thought they were leaving the situation that they needed to. Amen. Again, when times get tough, what do you do? Do we trust in God? Do we obey Him? Or do we, like they did, move to our Moab? Do we live like my God is my King and my life? Do we trust and obey every word that He says? Do we not have sex before marriage is one thing. Do we not date or wait in our mating needs? Do we trust God? Do we obey? Or do we move to Moab? Another thing we might be living with is God, King of life. Do we trust and obey Him with our tithes? Do we return 10% of our money that we're given? Because guess what? It ain't our money. Everything we're given is God's. Time, talent, and financial resources. Amen? So do you live with Him as they did, as truly King of your lives? Do you trust Him and obey? Or do you move to Moab? Get the thoughts on you that, oh man, money's tight right now. Whew. I'm worried I won't be able to do anything else. That I got to buy something. So I can't give up. I can't give up the money for my tithes. Amen? Hey, we all struggle with that, don't we? We all still struggle with that because we're still human and we're still here. So what do we do? Do we let God be king of our lives or do we go to Moab? Do we let God be king of our lives and not drink anymore? Not do drugs anymore? Or do we just do it and have a bad day in the process? Do we stress out? Do we stress out? When we get a bad day, do we stress out and go back to wanting that bottle or those drugs in our hands? Or do we trust and obey God or move to Moab? When times get tough, guess what? Moab looks tempting, don't it? When our times get tough, Moab looks tempting, don't it? And we're not judging, are we? But understanding, it only acts as a dilemma. Think about it. He went and had his Moab moment because he was scared. He was scared. The family was scared. He was scared that they were going to starve. Amen? Because of the situations in Bethlehem at that time. Honestly, think about it. Honestly, most of us have gone to Moab under far less pressure than they were under. Amen? I know I have. How about you? Amen? Give me a thumbs up if you're watching online. Have you went to Moab under far less pressure than they were? And what happened? What happened? They left God's people. They left God's will. In the end, it worked out fine, didn't it? In the end, it worked out fine. But they had to have a Moab moment. Ruth 1, chapter 1, verse 3 and 5 says, "Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband," guess what happened? He died. "And she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah, and the other," hence the book, name of the book, "the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died. And Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband." Amen. Whew, think about that. Think about what she's going through at that point. First, Elimelech dies. We don't know necessarily what he died of, right? But he died. He left his wife in that barren land of Moab. Guess what? He didn't leave her necessarily a good place, did he? He left her in a bad place. In Moab. Not nearly as good as Bethlehem. Amen. Definitely not God's will for where they should be living. But think about this. Naomi herself, at that point, Moab itself is less than 50 miles from Bethlehem. After they died. Think about that. Less than 50 miles from Bethlehem. But what did she do? She stayed there for another 10 years to stay with her sons, to see them marry Moabite women. Something that God Himself had forbidden. I'll give her the benefit of the doubt. She thought she was doing what she was supposed to be doing. Just as we think we're doing what we're supposed to be doing a lot of times. She thought, and her sons thought, I'm sure, that they were supposed to stay there. That's where they were supposed to be. So she stayed there another 10 years. She probably thought she was doing the right thing. And I'm sure the sons with Moabite women while they were there, I'm sure they probably thought that they could help. They could maybe convert them. Out of the Moabite left ways and land. That maybe in God's love, somehow, they were where they were supposed to be. But guess what, guys? In God's love to us, God gave us boundaries to protect many non-believers. In 2 Corinthians 6:14 it says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Why is God so strict or restrictive? Why does He spoil all the fun? Why does He spoil all the fun that they're having? Because He loves us. Amen? Because He loves you. That's one reason He's a little restrictive for us and what we should do and shouldn't be doing. If God is truly the King of our lives, we should want to share that life. We should want to raise a family. We should want to tell somebody that doesn't know God. Why would they leave Bethlehem? So they wouldn't die. They were scared. So they wouldn't die. And what happened? They didn't leave, or they left Bethlehem so they wouldn't die. And guess what? What happened in Moab? 3 of them died. So the exact thing they didn't want to happen while they were in Bethlehem happened when they went against God's will and God's provisions. 3 of them died. Amen? The story of Ruth begins. 3 widows living in there. No homies. For y'all older people, no guys in the house. No money to be found. And guess what? I don't know about you, but 3 widows, no homies, no money means no hope in their hearts. Amen? And I'm sure they lived each and every day with no hope in their hearts. But guess what? Guess what happens? Finally, somebody say finally. Finally, Naomi decides to return to Bethlehem. It's time to go back home. It's time to go back where God wanted me all along, right? Sorry. And along the way, can you imagine? You had 3 women out there having a conversation. Can you imagine what type of chick flick that was going on? I bet they were talking about all kinds of stuff. They were definitely the main characters of the movie, though, wasn't they? And there were women. Naomi tells her daughter-in-law, go back to your home. Go back to your home. get married, have babies. And Oprah does. She was starting a TV show. Ah, that was a joke. Y'all didn't get that one. But what happened then? Oprah left. Ruth stayed. Amen. Verse 16. Ruth speaks. For the first time, a famous verse. And more faith than anything. Ruth 1:16 says, "But Ruth replied, 'Do not urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God.'" How many of us need to have that conversation with our own self right now? Amen. How many of us have got off track of where God wants us and where we should be? How many of us are living in Moab right now that need to run back to God's protection, God's provision? How many of us need to be living with our God, the only God? Amen. Ruth's massive declaration, her loyalty to Naomi, her commitment to God of Israel. So Ruth and Naomi, they took off, didn't it? They left Moab. They returned to God and to Bethlehem. Think about that. She had to have repentance before she could face God totally, didn't she? Before she could get back to Bethlehem. She had to have her back towards the sin she was living in. She had to face toward God and leave Moab. Who are you facing now? Are you facing God or are you facing Moab? The word returned in Hebrew is shaw. Shaw. It is in the Bible in some form over 1,100 times. It highlights one of the most important truths. To get to the right place, you have to leave the wrong one. To get to the right place, you have to leave the wrong one. In order to marry the right person, you might have to break up with the one you're dating. Amen. Ruth made one decision. Amen. That's all we have to make today. To turn back from Satan and Moab to the loving God. We've got to make one decision. She turned back on Moab, or turned her back on Moab. She went to God in Bethlehem. One decision. One act of repentance. One choice changed her entire life, didn't it? It changed her legacy. Guess what? It also changed the course of the world. We've heard of Bethlehem, right? The house of bread. The bread of life. Our bread of life, which was Jesus, was born in Bethlehem. Amen? And guess what? He was a direct lineage of a Moab woman who turned to God. Wonder if there's some part of our lives that we're still living in Moab. Or are you living, "My God is my King"? Are you still doing it? Or are we doing it right in our own eyes? What one decision could we make today? What one action could you take that will change the trajectory of your lives and of your legacy today? What one decision could you make? What one act could you take to leave Moab and return to Bethlehem? You might need to cut up some credit cards and apologize. You might need to break up with somebody. You might need to move out somebody. Amen? You might need to block somebody from a phone. Or access. You might need to confess some addictions that we've been talking about. We might need to live on less and give more. Amen. We have to surrender something to God. We have to surrender someone to God. We have to surrender ourselves to the loving God. Amen? We have to fall on our knees in broken repentance. We have to surrender to Jesus. We have to get to that right place. We got to leave that wrong place. We have to shop. We have to return. Are you ready? When you rebuke the enemy, return to God. When you leave Moab, return to Bethlehem. Return to God. What one decision again could we make? What one action could we take that would change our trajectory, change our lives, and change our legacy today? Do you have any? Give me some hands. Give me some thumbs up. As we get ready to come for the final song, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord. Lord, again, I thank you for your blessing and your message today, Lord. Lord, as always, I thank you for your word spoken and not mine, Lord. Lord, for your Holy Spirit, not Ronnie speaking today, Lord. Lord, I thank you for the blessing and the message that you give us today, Lord. Lord, that we would want to truly live for you, Lord, not for us, Jesus. Lord, if we're not, that we would have that Moab moment, Lord, that we would turn our back on the situation that has paralyzed us and confused us in these last few days, Lord, or weeks, Lord. Lord, that we would only have one thing, Lord, and that's to shop, to return to you, Lord. Lord, in order to be able to even be happy in our lives, Lord, Lord, we know that we truly have to be sold out for you, Lord. Lord, we can't be running for some other place, Lord. We have to run to your heart, to your bosom, Lord, to your love, Jesus. Lord, I ask you to put somebody in front of us this week, Lord. Lord, that we can share and they can shout to you as well, Lord. Lord, that we can share and tell them how awesome you are, Lord. Lord, how much you love each one of us, Lord, that you died for us on the cross, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for each and everything that you do. In your name I pray. Everybody say it.
Amen.
Amen.